Welcome everybody to another thrilling episode of HomeKit Insider. It is me again, Andrew O'Hara, here with my pal and Iceland's most famous foosball player, Stephen Robles. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I was wondering if you were going to be good talking about it, because you weren't on last week's episode, which we had very special guest Josh from the HomeKit Life, and that was fun, but you were doing like world traveler things. Can you share where you went?
Yeah, so it was essentially like our two-year wedding anniversary, and my wife planned this whole trip, like, trouncing through Iceland, and it was just crazy. It was really crazy. It's a little bit, like, in between seasons, so it's after, like, the Northern Lights, and it's not fully into summer yet, but the weather was just gorgeous the entire time we were there. We saw, like, waterfall after waterfall that you could, like, walk behind and under, and we saw, you know, Glacier Lagoon with its crazy water and floating glaciers everywhere. Oh, we hiked 4 miles up into the mountains to stare at an active volcano, where this small group of, like, you know, 6 to 10 people that were up there, we would all take photos, and then you would turtle and cover yourself because you were getting pelted by ash. And left my wife's back bruised the next day. But it was so cool. Everything about it was incredible. So yeah, it was a really fun trip.
That's amazing. I mean, I think you posted like one or two pictures, and I was like, oh, this brother is in some incredible place. And so very cool. I hope to one day go there. Did you go to Reykjavik? I just wanted to show that I knew how to pronounce that.
Of course. So we flew into Keflavik. Then we basically went around the south side and went to like the Surflass waterfalls, and then went to Glacier Lagoon, came kind of back. Then we drove basically near past Reykjavik as we went back towards the north side, and we found a few cool things up there before coming back and spending our last like 2 days more or less in Reykjavik before flying back out of Keflavik the next morning.
Amazing.
We got 7 days total.
Well, very cool. Well, sounds like an amazing trip. One day I'd love to make it over there. You can follow Andrew on Twitter and you posted like one picture, right? Some waterfall?
Yeah, I'll post more photos. I mean, we have no data over there. Really, you know, we're kind of like stretching for Wi-Fi sometimes, so syncing stuff between our devices. I'd prefer to edit on my iPad if I can, but that requires you to be able to sync your photos like from your phone to your iPad.
Right.
So when I didn't have Wi-Fi and stuff, that was problematic, and we were just so busy. Like, we'd get back so late, and then we'd be like sunny, like 20 some hours of the day.
Whoa.
So there's not even like a full darkness. It just gets a little bit darker before it's like just light again. So we were like out, you know, at waterfalls and stuff until like, you know, 10 or something at night before finally getting back. So we were like really tired. So I barely had time to go through photos before we were back. And then of course I got back and hit my inbox and haven't had much of a time to go through enough of the photos yet either. But Faith and I did start going through some. So I do have more that I wanted to post, but I just had not had time yet.
For sure,
It was kind of fun. I was able to get data using that eSIM on my phone. Oh. Everyone's talking about, oh, you can pick up a local SIM card or whatever. And I just took my iPhone 12 Pro Max, and I downloaded the app Dent, I think, from the App Store. And I bought like 3 gigs of global 4G data for $30.
Whoa.
And that was enough to get me through the entire week. I mean, 30 for 3 gigs... I don't know, maybe like kind of expensive, but I didn't have to do anything else, and it would literally just activate it, and I just switch it to my primary cellular plan.
Data, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And boom, I had data, which was enough for like maps and stuff like that.
That's pretty cool. I've been wanting a reason to try the eSIM, and I mean, I really have no reason to try it, but maybe one day as we begin traveling. Very cool. Check out Andrew's Twitter for more photos of the beautiful Iceland. And now on to some HomeKit news. This happened earlier this week. Eufy, which is a company we've talked about, they make security cameras. They actually had a security breach where some users of Eufy cameras, if they went into the app, would actually see camera feeds from other users. So they wouldn't see their own, they would see other users. And Eufy issued a statement, said it was a server issue, and they resolved it. I think it took about a little over an hour for it to be totally resolved, but definitely somewhat of a concern when your security cameras could be seen by someone else just randomly, you know.
Well, so a couple things I think that are important to be clear. So I guess it really wasn't a breach Yuffie, I did think, end up saying that it was like a server issue.
They issued an update to their server, right?
Yeah, which, okay. I mean, I guess it's better than a breach, but you're still showing your camera feeds to everybody else. Right. So, still. Secondarily, is that this is not going to impact HomeKit users. So, if you set your Yuffie cams up solely through HomeKit, you're, you know, good as gold. There's no problems there, and it was always showing the correct stuff inside of HomeKit Secure Video, but when you went to the Yuffie app, there is where you could see somebody else's feed, and they could be seeing your feed. But if this was set entirely up through HomeKit, no one else is seeing yours, and you are not seeing anybody else's. So I guess that's, like, one good spot, and again, kind of touts the benefits of HomeKit versus third-party anything.
Yes. Okay, good point. The Connected Home over IP Alliance, we had talked about before. Last week, I mentioned that it has rebranded to be called Matter. Love to get your thoughts on that, Andrew. But Matter has announced several integrations now, including Google even announced that its Nest thermostats will be compatible with HomeKit through the Matter Alliance, and that update will be coming later this year. But pretty wild, you'll be able to use Google-made devices if you want, you know, that whether you want to or not for privacy and security reasons, it may be debatable, but that these things will be cross-compatible and we will probably see Amazon devices as well compatible with HomeKit since Amazon is part of the new Matter Alliance. But what do you think of that rebranding to Matter, Andrew?
I heard you guys going back and forth on the name. I did not mind the name.
No, I really didn't.
I thought it was like, you know, to me, it was like, this is the stuff that kind of everything is built on.
Right.
And it comes all the way down to, like, Matter. Like, I don't know. I was fine with the name. I was fine with the rebrand because I think the chip, like, who is going to know, like, you know, connected home over IP?
Right.
And it was even called Project Chip. It wasn't even called, like, Chip.
Right.
So I think it was always going to get a rebrand at some point to make this, like, consumer friendly. But yeah, no, this is a very good thing. And this was answering a little bit of a question that we had, which was how Apple was going to ultimately handle Matter. When you got certified through Matter, it was supposed to work with all the platforms, but how is Apple going to handle your MFI license? Like, you know, you still have to be part of the MFI program, and it's wonderful licensing fees and stuff like that. So if you were still, you know, certified to work through Android Matter, you're still going to require an extra step to go through HomeKit. Would people choose not to go through HomeKit? And that would be a, you know, big deal if all of a sudden, like, oh, cool, you're technically will work, but because you didn't go through Apple certification and pay your Apple licensing fees, it doesn't work. So hopefully that is baked into Matter, and it seems like it is based on the fact that Nest will support Matter. And I did not see this because, again, been a little bit swamped, but I wanted to know. Yes. Yeah. Google's blog actually says, I was wondering if Google had said this or if anyone else was just making the leap.
No, Google said it.
About it. But yeah, I think that's huge. The fact that Nest is literally going to work with HomeKit. So it could just be this Matter certification, go through that process, and boom, it works with your Amazon Assistant, works with HomeKit, works with Google.
It's pretty cool. So Matter, on a metaphysical level, you're down with the name. I get it.
And since we're talking about Matter, I know these were left out. I had their PR in my inbox and, you know, didn't get to tap on you. So I know that Yale/ASSA Abloy, they announced that all their products, they're going to be moving to Matter. So they are fully backing the Matter platform. And I believe Nanoleaf was actually at Google's I.O. event, and they were publicly stating that they were supporting Matter, which is no surprise because I'm pretty sure they talked about when they were even on the show, but they're like formally confirming that they're moving to Matter and everything will work with Matter. So just good to know. I prefer people are more, whatever the word is I'm trying to think of, like they over confirm that.
Right.
I'd rather be extra sure than just make assumptions.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so this next news is pretty interesting. As we know, AirTags came out recently, and Tile's been, you know, a little upset because they've been doing this for a while, and Apple's integration with the Find My app is not something third parties, well, they kind of have to either buy into the Find My app or do their own thing, and Tile is decidedly trying to do its own thing. It It's not going to be a part of the Find My network, but it has now announced that it's going to work with two other companies to increase the Tile location tracking network. And those two companies are Amazon, and that will be integrating with Amazon's Sidewalk feature, and Level Lock. So it brings it back to a HomeKit brand that we've talked about before. Now, what I find this interesting is these alliances are to try and increase the network, increase the number of devices in the Tile location network. So if you lose a Tile, you'll be able to find it because some other person has a device in the network. But these two companies, Amazon and Level Lock, don't really make devices that people carry with them. Level Lock makes locks, like for your door, which is a pretty stationary object. And for Amazon, I guess you could say the Amazon Buds, maybe if you have an Amazon app on an Android phone that it could start pinging the Tile devices. But these just seemed like weird company integrations for location tracking network building. But they've announced that they're going to work together to try and compete with Apple's Find My network.
Yeah, I think this is really interesting. It's still, sometimes it makes me uneasy still.
Yes.
I mean, I guess the good thing for Tile is this is pretty solid. I mean, Amazon had to do something to be able to step up its ability, or I guess Tile rather has to do something to step up its ability to find things. So right now you have to have that Tile app installed to be able to send the location of somebody's Tile device that you found back to them. You know, you just walk by one and it sends it back, very much like Apple's Find My platform. But with Sidewalk here, if it's anywhere in that neighborhood, like it's going to literally be a blanket network of Bluetooth devices between Ring cams, Level Locks, Tile trackers, all of those together. And if your Tile tracker is anywhere in that network, it can be found, which absolutely is helpful. So this is definitely a good thing for Tile. For Level users, this is going to do a few things. One, just adding to that network can kind of connect things together, but it also is going to allow that Level Lock to show up in the Ring doorbell cameras.
Oh,
it'll connect directly to a Ring doorbell camera, so you'll be able to unlock your Level Lock directly from a Ring camera. Which I think is interesting because this lock is Bluetooth. So it's literally making that Bluetooth jump from your Ring Pro video doorbell to your Level Lock. So I think that's a good thing. But the whole Sidewalk thing has always just made me a little uneasy. Yeah, it is. And I think just the lack of transparency around it has always just made me a little nervous.
Sure.
Anyone who follows the show knows I ditched all my Rings a while ago after it really became clear that they were never joining HomeKit after all of their Twitter boasting.
Well, I also find with the AirTag and iPhone ecosystem, the Find My, the U1 chip in the AirTag plus NFC really makes it an ideal location tracking device. And this is one of the reasons why you had a comparison video with the Chipolo tracker that was announced by Apple to support the Find My network prior to AirTags. Even the Chipolo tracker that is in the Find My network doesn't have a U1 chip or NFC. So you can't do that precision finding arrow on the screen to find a Chipolo tracker. So when it comes to Tile, I feel like they're going to have some kind of deeper integration. And even if they do put something like a U1 chip in, well, the U1 is Apple's chip, so they would have to have some other kind of ultra wideband chip inside a Tile tracker. They would then also have to work with phone manufacturers to support that. And Apple has their own thing now. Like, I don't think they're going to support some third-party ultra-wideband chip in addition to the U1.
I've got some news on that.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah. I don't think this is anything, like, breaking news, but a couple of it is tied to the ongoing Epic v. Apple trial.
Right.
And a couple things that Tile had previously announced. So, one, Tile is working on a ultra wideband version of their tracker. It's expected to be released sometimes in 2021. So that would be on par with what AirTag is doing. Additionally, Apple, which I thought we knew Apple was opening up the U1 chip to third parties to use, but Apple, I believe, did confirm in the trial that it is doing that.
It is. Okay.
It did say that, yeah, they're basically working on, there's like the open standard for ultra wideband, and they're working on that, whatever is needed, the API or anything that is needed for third parties, and then that'll be launched later this year. I think, for anyone to take advantage of. So whether it's Tile or anybody else. So we could definitely see an updated version of the Chipolo tracker that integrates ultra wideband. We could see new versions. We likely, very likely, will see new versions of Tile trackers that use ultra wideband. So they're going to be on the same plane as Apple, and then it's what they do with them. Okay. I mean, I think if Tile is able to get some sort of AR mode before Apple does, then that's going to be a big win on the Tile side.
That's true.
I mean, Apple's already using the U1, and they're not doing any AR stuff, which I still think is really weird, because we even saw the balloons in the code, and yet they didn't announce any AR functionality for AirTag. By the way, I took those on my trip. I had them in a lot of my bags, and it was really handy. I didn't ever need to use them except for like one time when I was looking for like my camera. I couldn't remember where it was, so I pulled up my phone and navigated. I'm like, oh, I left it in the bedroom for some reason. So something like that. We had like an Airbnb. That's why I was in like a small space, but it was like enough where I had like multiple levels and rooms. So I had to like track down my camera for a second. I still wish, and I said this before, I still wish they had like a left behind alert. Like if I left my bag behind,
right,
it was going to yell at me. That tether. But no, not yet.
Yeah, that would be nice. It would have to be like an adjustable radius though, because you don't want to like every time you walk out of your bedroom where your bag is in, that it like dings.
So the way third parties handle this, because third parties have already done the legwork here for Apple, and you basically can whitelist places. So in your house, whitelist it. You don't need to be notified that you left your keys, your backpack, whatever. And then when you leave your house without them, then it can alert you. You can also whitelist like your house and everything. And you could also mute those for a certain period of time.
That's pretty sweet.
So there are ways around the annoyances that would come from that.
Okay. That's pretty sweet. Very cool. All right. Well, we actually got an email. You had been talking about finding some smart bulbs for a specific fixture. So someone sent a picture of these bulbs. These are made by Yeelight. It's the M2 bulb. And so this listener was asking, is this a kind of bulb that would fit your thing that you're looking for, or still not yet?
That would fit. Oh. That would absolutely fit.
All right.
I will say my hesitancy around it is only the fact that it looks so nice with the filament bulbs. And I've been hesitant to switch to something that's not a filament bulb.
Sure.
Like the whole point of those, like those globes, it's a very retro looking fan. I don't know if retro, but like that urban modern kind of look that's in right now. It's like a lot of black and like the metal, and then you have like filament bulbs hanging down.
Right.
That is a, for one, that absolutely would work. That's the first one that I've seen that would fit that. And now I have to think if I want to use that or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I wish there was a filament version, but now I might have to do it. I might have to do it. So we'll see. I'll think about it.
Well, thank you, listener. Good suggestion. Now, believe it or not, Apple has released betas for iOS 14.7. I saw some tweets on here, like there's only been like one other time that iOS has gotten this high on a point release, meaning 14.7. You know, release candidate 14.6 is out, but it's not publicly available yet. It's looking like early June for 14.6, because that has the Apple Card family sharing features. I believe the podcast app will be updated to have the subscriptions available. So 14.6 is still yet to be publicly released, and Apple has now released the beta for 14.7. Haven't seen a ton of new features in here, but one that relates to Home, and specifically HomePod, is that you can now manage timers without having to yell at Siri. You can actually use the Home app on your iOS device and manage the timers on a specific HomePod right there in the app. And so if you want to do multiple timers and you want to start it without having to yell at Siri, which I'm hoping my kids use their app to do this rather than yelling at Siri, because they have to do it over and over again because sometimes Siri doesn't get it right away. But pretty cool that you'll be able to manually adjust timers in the Home app once we get to 14.7.
Absolutely. They need to do some work with timers. I think that'll make it a little bit easier, though it does suck that it's kind of like buried a little bit. Sure. At this point, but it is helpful that it's there. Okay, a few more quick pieces of news before we move on to the rest of the episode. There is a new Belkin AirPlay 2 adapter hitting the market. I think we talked about this on a little while ago, Steven, as a rumor,
But now it has been confirmed and announced. It is the Soundform Kinect, and it basically turns your terrestrial non-smart slash dumb speakers into AirPlay 2 connected speakers, so you can cast audio to them from really any of your Apple devices. So your iPhone, your iPad, your Mac, even your Apple TV. So if you've got a set of dumb speakers and you want to add some smarts to them, check this out. I used to have the Griffin 20, I believe, which was like an amp or a preamp that would connect to your dumb speakers, and then it would like connect the old school Apple AirPort Express. It like connected in, like the one that had like little replaceable adapter on the end, like plugged into it. It was pretty darn sleek. And I love this for, you know, an AirPlay 2 connection option. So if you've got any dumb speakers around, definitely check this out. Natatmo, for anyone who uses the Natatmo Smart Weather Station, the one that works with HomeKit and everything else, there are new iOS 14 home screen widgets, so you can see your metrics right on your home screen, so that's very cool. And finally, in terms of Natatmo, they've added a new update to their smart video doorbell, and while it isn't the HomeKit secure video update that we were all hoping for, it is the update that is going to be adding Alexa and Google Assistant, as well as the Siri that's already there. So this is just becoming a more powerful doorbell. They're delivering another update. This seems like a pretty major update, so if HomeKit secure video was like just around the corner of being released, I feel like they would have included in here or waited for this one, so it might be a little while longer, but you know, they did confirm that that was the next, you know, product of theirs to be getting HomeKit secure video. Who knows how long we're gonna have to wait, but I'm really hoping that it is sooner rather than later.
All right, so Apple, I mean, they just went crazy this week with announcements and embargoes and all this kind of stuff, but one of the ones that really directly relates to the home, especially when it comes to music and HomePods and all that, is their announcements about Apple Music. So Apple announced that it is bringing spatial audio and Dolby Atmos support to the Apple Music library, and as like a secondary thing, secondary feature, that there will also be lossless audio available. Now, there's so many asterisks and caveats with all these different features, but basically think of it as spatial audio, which you know about, like a virtual surround, like you're watching a movie or something on your iPad or iPhone, and you get that, you turn your head and the sound stays like it's coming from the device, and it has just that increased sound stage. That spatial audio, when it comes to tracks in Apple Music, will be supported by AirPods Max and AirPods Pro, and so you'll get that wider soundstage spatial audio effect on Apple's wireless headphones. But when it comes to lossless audio, and you know, if you're into audio, you're familiar with like FLAC audio formats where there's, you know, no compression, it's just really the highest quality you can listen to. Those tracks that are Apple lossless, they'll be using Apple's unique codec for lossless, ALAC, and in order to listen to those lossless audio tracks, you will not be able to do it on HomePod or HomePod Mini or AirPods Max, AirPods Pro, or any AirPods. It will require a DAC or digital audio converter, basically like a USB audio interface with wired headphones to experience those lossless audio tracks at full quality. And so everybody was up in arms about this, like how can AirPods Max, that's $550, not support this lossless, high-quality audio codec? And first of all, it's just the nature of how AirPods connect to your devices, which is right now via Bluetooth, and Bluetooth cannot carry that much data for streaming of that lossless audio codec. Bluetooth just doesn't support it. Now, there's been rumors, namely John Prosser on the Genius Bar podcast mentioned that Apple might be developing its own proprietary wireless communication that could come to the AirPods Max, maybe AirPods Pro, in like a firmware update that then supports lossless audio wirelessly, but that's not official. Apple didn't announce anything like that. And so as it stands, if you want to do lossless audio tracks, that requires a digital audio piece of equipment and wired headphones, and spatial audio can be listened to on Apple's AirPods and HomePods. So that's the distinction there. You want to bring any more clarity to that, Andrew?
Right, man, it was a mess. We were doing, I of course had completely different things set for Monday because I had just gotten back.
Right.
I had even worked through the weekend to get everybody the latest episode of This Week in Apple. And I was like, kind of getting back into things on Monday, and then Apple is like, here, take all of this. It just like hits you in the face with it. And then, of course, with the Apple Music stuff, there was no clarity on what worked and what didn't work.
Yeah.
There was a lot of mixed reporting. I don't want to call out names of sites, but like multiple sites reported that HomePod, the original HomePod, was going to work with lossless, but HomePod Mini wouldn't. There was other sites that were reporting that AirPods, AirPods Pro, AirPods Max would support lossless, but not high-res lossless. So Apple actually breaks their lossless formats into two different options. So there's lossless and high-res lossless, going all the way up to some crazy resolution. Yeah. This other site had confidently reported, and might still have it up, that AirPods and AirPods Max and everything, AirPods Pro, supported the basic version of lossless and not lossless high-res. And it was super confusing until we finally got some clarifications from Apple on what worked and what didn't work. So it took me forever to get a video out on it because I wanted to be as accurate as I could. And I still end up having the HomePod piece wrong because I had that was reported so many places. I was like, okay, HomePod's going to support lossless. And then go figure, didn't. But all the headphone stuff was correct.
Right.
So largely wasn't too much of an issue for that. But I think the big deal here is going to be the spatial stuff. The spatial audio, I think, is going to be the killer feature here that I think everyone's going to care about. I don't think the lossless is going to be like the biggest selling point. And for those that do care about it, already have a setup that'll work. Like, no one who cares about lossless was going around listening on like their AirPods Pro.
Right.
And are now upset about it. There are people who are, like, I feel like they want to be upset for the sake of being upset. And I think Prosser is going down the right road that Apple would introduce a their own format or do something to allow like AirPods Max to work with it. I mean, even wired, they don't right. work. Even over Lightning, they do not work. But I mean, even for the high res losses, you have to have, you know, a DAC to enable it.
Right.
And no one out there, by and large, no one out there is using a DAC. There are some people who absolutely do. Most people do not. I think the lossless is going to be not nearly as important for headphones, but for any other
right.
audio setups. So if you have, you know, your surround sound, because this does work through Apple TV too. So I think you could be able to play through whatever system you have there. If you have a dock or anything else that you play Apple Music through, you now have a lossless option for your crazy high-end speakers.
Right.
I think that is a more likely solution for most people. And I think the people who do have the headphones that are going to work with this best already have something that they're going to be happy with to use. Those people are not using AirPods Max. Mm. And I think a lot of people, if they've taken like the different, like the Tidal test and a few of the others that lets you do the test on whether or not you can tell the difference between lossless, I think most people are going to find out that they cannot even tell
right.
the difference when they're listening to a lossless file. So I think the lossless is great. I really, really like it because I want there to be that other option, that high-end option fills in that need for the people who need it.
Yeah.
It should be there. Apple Music should be able to say that they have freaking lossless stuff and it doesn't cost you a cent more. So if that is what you're looking for, you've got it.
Right.
But I don't think most people are going to care about it. I think spatial is going to be the killer part here, and that's going to be really, really awesome.
I do want to mention someone on Twitter, Spidey Sam, sent me this link, and it's for this Bluetooth amp headphone device. It's from Fiio, F-I-I-O, and it is a Bluetooth amp, and it supports LDAC, APTX HD lossless Bluetooth audio codecs. Again, I haven't done a ton of research on this, but this device is claiming that it can send that lossless codec to certain Bluetooth headphones. Now, this would not work with Apple's lossless because Apple has its own lossless codec, that ALAC. But it shows that maybe there is some credence to the rumor that Apple releases via software and firmware updates some kind of wireless codec to support that lossless, maybe just for the AirPods Max. But that this device is seemingly already doing some version of this now, even though it's not compatible with Apple, that shows it's probably a possibility.
Yeah, and there's still the digital masters in there. So there are ones that, so inside of 14.6, Apple is now branding music. So there used to be like the iTunes digital masters, right. And you couldn't see it in the music app. Now there's actual branding and a logo that let you know when you're listening to an Apple Music digital master. or mastered for Apple Music, whatever it is, but really, really, you know, higher end mastering on that song versus lossless and high res lossless. So there still is like this solid tier, but again, it's just going over Bluetooth and your typical AAC codecs. So nothing crazy. And I think Apple does need something here because as I review a lot of wireless headphones, Apple doesn't support like aptX or aptX HD. And I'm seeing, you know, other platforms do support that. So I'm getting a nice pair of headphones from Mastering Dynamic and they're supporting aptX or aptX HD. They can handle higher resolution audios than Apple's doing over typical AAC. So they are missing something there. They definitely need to, hopefully, I don't know if I feel happy with a proprietary codec, but I guess I really don't care if it just works on my Apple stuff.
Right.
You know, because like, I don't care that it's AAC or anything else right now. If I'm listening through my AirPods, it just needs to work. So if they're using like their own codec when I'm listening on my iPhone, my iPad, and my Mac, and then I switch over to a Windows PC and it jumps to AAC, like I'm not going to care all that much.
Well, and maybe we'll hear more about this at WWDC. As you listen to this episode, the day it comes out, keynote for WWDC is only 2 weeks away, happening June 7th. Obviously, we're going to hear about a ton of software updates, but maybe part of the lossless Apple Music stuff will happen then as well. Andrew, you had a new camera thing that you wanted to talk about, not necessarily HomeKit, but something pretty cool. So talk to us about Deep Sentinel, and is this after the X-Men? That's what I want to know.
Okay, so not X-Men related, if that's good or bad, but this is something I've been using for a few weeks now, and it's not HomeKit, but it's so cool that I really wanted to talk about it, and it gave me actually a lot of peace of mind while I was over in Iceland, because I didn't have that constant data, I was not able to really monitor my smart home. So our setup basically right now is, you know, all of our HomeKit gear, and while we were away, I did have my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law stopping over to check on our animals, fish, bunnies, all that kind of stuff, as well as just check the house. And my neighbors, of course, they're watching over the place. Normally, they go up to the door, and they have we have the keypad for our August lock. So they just put in their code, and then they also have a fob for our abode system, so they would disarm the alarm when they show up and go into the house, do their things. But it still didn't protect really from the outside all that much, and if there was somebody lurking around on the cameras, we weren't going to see it because we were different time zones and because we didn't have reliable data. So while it would normally be fine that I would get an alert from my Arlo or from HomeKit that there's somebody lurking around the porch, I'm not going to get that. So I was debating on what to do for outside. I could always put the pay for the monitoring on my abode system on the inside, but by doing that, I'm kind of assuming that somebody has already broken into my house and there's nothing that stops them from just, okay, the alarm's going off, we'll grab a handful of whatever you can carry and get the heck out. So I'd prefer to stop somebody before they've gotten into the house. Anyway, this all goes back to Deep Sentinel, and they look really awesome. They almost look like two Coke cans stacked together sideways, and one the bottom half is shorter, and the top half houses the battery, and then just clips onto a little stand or a mount or whatever it is that you want to use with it. The top part has a large speaker slash siren and a ring of lights. And the bottom has like the infrared lights as well as the camera system itself and any motion sensors. So the way this works, it's always monitoring your house, right? Like a normal security camera does. And say somebody is looking pretty sketch and they're walking around my deck. The camera is going to see that and it's going to use like AI to detect that that's a person. And that's going to get escalated to a live guard. It goes to a live guard who then can look at the scene. So they decide, okay, is this person being sketchy or are they a normal person, right? And if it's a sketchy person, then they're going to immediately intervene. They're going to start talking to that person and say, you know, what are you doing there? Stop, you know, telling them to stop. And if they do not stop, Deep Sentinel is on the phone with the police, and they're able to convey everything. They're able to say, hey, there's a person on the back wearing a black hoodie with a crowbar, and he went in through this window, like really, really explicit in like actual life. So if you're looking at a security system, that's just sending an alarm to the police saying, oh, but a security system was tripped. Who knows how many of those are, you know, false positives. I'm sure there's actually a number reported about how many alarm systems that go off are false positive. But in this case, it's a very verifiable guard that is looking at that person and giving all that information to the police. So the response time is far faster than a typical alarm system would be, and the cops have a lot more information to go off of. So that's how it would work if there's like some ne'er-do-well on your deck. But your other instances are going to be, you know, you or a friend, family, neighbor, something like that, just checking on your house. So someone comes over, if they look like they're kind of meandering a little bit, they're not like breaking a window, but they're not like, you know, going away. They look like they're kind of just like standing around. If that's the case, then the Deep Sentinel guard is going to intervene and just, but be polite. Hi, wow. How are you? Can I help you? So kind of engage with them, but also not, you know, assume that they're a bad person. So they're going to be nice and polite and just ask them what they're doing. They'll be, oh, sorry, I'm just the neighbor. I was just looking around, making sure everything was okay. Fine. As long as they go on their way, the guard, you know, doesn't do anything. If they get all skeeved out and freak out, whatever, then different situation. And then, of course, if it's you, most of the time, like we've had it, I'm walking around, doesn't do anything at all. They see it. They're like, okay, he's clearly the owner. He knows what he's doing. He's just walking around, not anything. He just walked out of the house. It's nothing suspicious. So everything is just immediately gone, turned off, no longer watching. There are plenty of privacy things in place. So anytime you can turn on privacy mode, it gives you a 30-minute timer because you don't want to turn on privacy mode and then forget about it. So I think it's really important that they have a timer whenever you enable privacy mode, so it disables after a certain period of time. The security guards, the live guards, also have their own privacy timer that they can enable. So say you're in your backyard and you're having a picnic, they see that, they see the motion, they're like, oh, this is a picnic, or they're gonna go ahead and turn on privacy mode for themselves. You'll be alerted that they turned on that mode. But then they don't get a bunch of false alerts that you guys are out there. And it only lasts for a short period of time, so they're able to swap it out. So that's super cool too. And their app is very robust and clear. Like, obviously there's so many privacy things here. One, always outside. These are not meant to be like in your living room. These are security from the outside. They're trying to prevent someone from going into your home in the first place before they do anything else. So these are like outdoor, you know, specific cameras. And everything they do is super, super clear. So you get an alert that an event on this location is under review by a live guard. Then in the app, I see like live Sentinel verified. And I actually can see the clip when it was, you know, time and date, the location. And then it gives you like a check mark or not, like whether it was okay, not safe. And it even tells you the guard number. Like, oh, this one right here. We were on our porch yesterday. Nick V, guard number 2300, saw us walk out on the porch yesterday as we were going to have a fire. So they monitor it, and you can see that it's only for a few seconds and then they turn it off. Again, it's outdoors, so it is that trade-off of some privacy because there is a live guard that checks on you anytime you walk in or out of your house. So that is like a privacy aspect. So I wouldn't put it in any place that I'm like socializing or anything, but definitely to cover sides of your house, front of your house, anywhere where you're worried about, you know, somebody breaking in. I've never felt like more at ease about that because I'm over there and I'm like, if some sketchy person walks up on my deck, I've got a live guard that's going to see them in 1 second and be on the phone with the police and taking care of it. And then every time that they do something, they internally have to fill out an incident report, and then you get a copy of everything that happened as well. So they are huge on security in general and privacy, and making sure they're, you know, being responsible. But yeah, I thought this is the coolest thing. I love how responsive they are supposed to be. There's a safe word. You look sketchy for whatever reason, and they're like, what are you doing? You do have a safe word that you can give them to disable it. Mine is cat fancy. Oh, I'm kidding. It's not what it is.
Bosco.
But yeah,
Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think about something like this? Would you, how do you feel about like the privacy aspect or just the features in general? Like, what do you think about this? Like, you got any questions about this? I think this is really cool.
It is really cool. And I think for maybe someone who's in a neighborhood that has like active neighbors and a lot of people coming up to the door, that this would be valuable, you know, especially to be able to distinguish between intruder and someone just checking up on the house. So that's pretty cool. For me, as we are moving someplace new, more in a rural area, I don't like, there's not going to be anybody coming up to the house except for like delivery people. And so I think for someone like me, I want to stick in the HomeKit ecosystem as much as possible. And for that reason, I might not do it just for that. But I mean, it sounds really cool. I might have missed this, but is there some kind of like monthly fee for cloud storage and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, there is. So a couple things. So first, oh, the rural spaces. So we're more rural. We are more rural, but the problem in rural places, there's, I don't want to say more, I don't know any of the numbers, but you still have to worry about it because there's nobody around you. Mm. Like, we actually have neighbors that are somewhat close, but it's so, we worry about, you know, my mother-in-law because she sits more back from the road. And it's so, there's a lot of home invasions and stuff like that that happen because there's nobody around. Mm. They can drive up, go to houses, break in, and leave when all they have to do is look, oh, there's no cars, the lights are off, break in, they're separated from other houses and nosy neighbors, and they're on their way. So, even in a rural environment, that actually made me, honestly, I was more nervous. Like, we were living more in a city before, and it makes me more nervous living in a rural environment than it did in the city, because I felt like in the city I had neighbors that were like literally touching our house. Mm. So they would know, like, hey, we're out of town, so if you see something going on, you know, not going on here. That's not us. So that I thought actually was important. So I think that made more sense. And yes, there is a monthly fee. I can't find where it is now, but I'm sure it is a decent,
sure,
chunky monthly fee for having a live guard at your beck and call. But for anyone who is worried about security, like I agree, I definitely want HomeKit and everything, but something like this gives me so much more peace of mind than HomeKit. Like, for inside and everything, HomeKit all the way. But for outside,
yeah.
You know, I might be sticking with this. It's a very cool system. It's been really reliable in our testing so far, and I like how clear and verbose they are. Anytime that a live guard intervenes or even watches a clip or anything like that, it makes me feel very much more protected than it otherwise would.
Okay. And last thing I wanted to point out, we had a listener tweet at us. This is SDC something on Twitter. Sorry, I forget the number right now. But he was answering the call for people looking for light switches that don't require neutral wire that are available in the UK, EU, and abroad. And he sent this link. I had not heard of them, but it is athome.tech without the E. So like athome.tech. And I'll put the exact link to this light switch in show notes, but it is a light switch. It touch enables, it's not like a physical switch, it's a touch switch, but it's specifically made for the EU and it does not require a neutral wire and you can buy it to be HomeKit compatible. It's like 19 euros, I would guess. It has a dollar sign here on the website, but I assume it's euros and or pounds, depending on where you're buying it. Yeah, this might fit someone's needs. So we'll put that link in show notes as well.
Can I just say, really quick, as a completely separate subject?
Oh, please.
How excited I am for Friday. We didn't really talk about this before, but come on. Friday is freaking new Apple Day, and I'm looking at like my UPS yes, like shipping yeah, account right now, and I've got like 6 packages arriving tomorrow, and I'm so excited. I was really hoping to take this new iPad Pro with right, me on the trip, but obviously that timing didn't line up. I was hoping that was going to line up like a month ago, but no, I'm so excited.
Yeah, and for our listeners, we are recording before the Friday of the great delivery day, the great Apple drop.
So by the time you all have heard this, we will have our stuff in hand and we'll be too busy for all of you.
That's right. And on the next episode, we will surely give our thoughts on those things. Yes, I have my iPad Pro coming. My Magic Keyboard has not shipped yet. And so I'm greatly concerned that that will be all right.
Mine actually shipped 3 minutes ago.
Did it?
So with delivery for tomorrow.
There's still
so
hope.
So you should be able to rest easy.
Yeah, you could have got a shipping notification while we recorded.
Okay, I will go check that, but I do have that. I have the Apple TV. Mine is still being prepared for shipment as we record, so we will see. Maybe mine will change in the next few minutes. But yes, I'm stoked, very excited. And this is a great time to plug, listeners, the Apple Insider YouTube channel. If you are not subscribed yet, go to youtube.com/Apple Insider. Andrew's going to have a ton of videos about all these devices. I'm going to do something on the iPad, and you do not want to miss it. It's going to be a fun time, not just straight reviews. We're going to really talk about some detailed use cases and dive into these products. So youtube.com/Apple Insider, for sure. Check that out. Subscribe, hit the bell, all that good stuff. And don't forget to give us a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. That will greatly help out the show. And you can reach out to Andrew and myself. Our Twitter handle's in the show notes. Tell us what you had shipped on Friday. If you got anything, iPad, Apple TV, or any other items that Apple has sold. iMac, maybe you got one of those new colorful iMacs. That'd be pretty cool too.
Don't get me started on the new iMac.
We will talk about that too in the near future. But reach out to us, follow us on Twitter. We'd love to interact with you there. And don't forget to check out all the shows Apple Insider has. Apple Insider Daily, the Apple Insider Podcast. Links to those are in the show notes as well. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.